We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Bucks, but in some teams haven't played well, but you still expect it when you play.
Of course. Why would you think they wouldn't?
Because if they haven't done it.
So what? That doesn't mean anything. I mean, whatever they've done, well, they've done something. I mean, they've done something. Things that they've done well. It doesn't mean that you know, this week they can't do a lot of things well. They've shown that they've done things in spurts or in one phase of the game or another. I mean, I thought they would be irresponsible to coach a team and tell them, okay, fellas, the team is coming in here. It's not going to play well, so we should expect them to play a bad game, so, you know, why don't we play one that's just a little bit better than their bad game? I think I'd be totally irresponsible. I can't imagine any coach ever doing that.
Well, the back and forth there, back in the day between Michael Holly and Bill Belichick, that's what can happen. That's the flip side of asking difficult questions, tough questions, is that you might get that. But also, it's interesting to hear Bill get out of that comfort zone a little bit, not be used to the same questions from certain guys on the beat. I respected that today from Shaughnessy. And, you know, it's Bill's right to answer the stuff however he wants to. But we are better as sports fans, and certainly we are better as talk show hosts when guys like Shaughnessy are allowed to ask those questions. In fact, Tommy Curran agrees with me. Someone asked him on Twitter, Tom, do you think Shaughnessy did this because you shamed him? Be more political in your answer than I was my question. And Curran said 100%, and I'm glad he did. Saying he's glad he asked the questions. Going on about a decade of the same people being expected to ask the same questions at these things while everyone sits back and says what they would have asked if they were, quote, down there, end quote. Good to have him. So Curran is as good as it gets in that beat. He's not crying a foul in grandstand. He's happy to have Shaughnessy ask the question. As a fan, you should be too. You should be too, whether you agree with Belichick or not. Most people agree with him 99.9% of the time, and why shouldn't you? But he should also be questioned when something as big as this looms over a season. And if I had to nitpick at all, it would have been, I would have liked the Brady question today. Shaughnessy, re-rack it. Let's get some Brady involved here. Have you talked to Tom yet, Bill? Let's go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Josh in Nacelle joins the program tonight. Hey, Josh.
Hey, can you hear me?
I hear you great, Josh. Excellent phone.
All right, excellent. So, first of all, I admit that the question had to be asked, and I'm glad it was Shaughnessy that asked it. You know, his cachet carries a lot of import. But I think that Bill is a hero for not answering, and here's why.
A hero?
Happened. A hero, yes. He did this for Malcolm Butler. This is my theory.
Okay.
Something happened. Something heinous. All right? The guy that got you to the Super Bowl did something. And not only was he a Super Bowl hero from the year before, but he was your number one shutdown corner the whole year. All right? You take him out. Something horrible happened. Okay?
Horrible. Now, okay, so he says nothing happened. His agent said nothing happened. Something horrible happened. Your word.
Nothing,
okay.
Nothing happened. Yeah, I'm sure. Right? Something happened. Right?
Well, what? Now, well, you keep saying that, but it's been now March, April, 5 months. 5 months. And in a sports town where there are a million people sniffing around every story, that's no one has heard anything, Josh.
That's why I'm saying, and notice, when he left, And when this happened, you had nothing but support from everybody on the team, you know, Twitter messages, you know, Butler, you're one of the best, you're, you know, always my teammate, you know, best buddies, the whole bit, you know. But nobody seemed to say that Bill was wrong. So if they knew about it, they didn't say.
Well, they questioned it. I mean, Danny Amendola just questioned it last week.
What did he say?
He said, we still haven't got an answer. I have no idea one of our players didn't play.
Wow. Now, so that goes to show you that something happened.
No. Josh. What, Josh, let me.
Nothing happened.
Josh, I'm saying I don't. You keep saying you know something happened. What do you know? Because I don't know anything.
No, I don't have any proof of anything. What I have is circumstantial evidence.
See, and I would say the evidence, Josh, and thanks for the call. The if you really wanted to have evidence, you know, Danny Amendola would say, you know, Bill Belichick had him as a coach for X amount of years. He always does the best thing for the team. And the players would not be so outwardly trying to support him on social media, etc.
I don't know the answer to that to this date.
See, and I don't know the answer to that. Instead of trying to sidestep it, or go back to the old and Bill we trust thing, he is in a long line of people who are saying the same thing. You know, the Tom Brady cut at one point where I'm on the sideline wondering what kind of defense we're in. Malcolm's on the sideline next to me. Devin McCourty, his teammate, his fellow defensive back, had his back the whole way. So, again, I think at this point, see, that caller's theory is something had to happen. My theory at this point is that nothing happened because we would have heard about it between now and then.
He's the coach. I can't make that decision. I can only do my job.
In Boston, this stuff gets out. After 4, 5, 6 months, it always gets out. People cannot help themselves. So the idea that we'd be here and we haven't got anything yet, it lends credence to the idea that it was just a football decision. Bad week of practice. I mean, Butler said it himself. It might be as simple as that. Bad week of practice, not focus. Okay, just didn't play. Great. Fine. Would it kill him to say it? I'm not sure fans would really be at his back, but if that's the case, and Butler said as much, the coach not willing to go there, which is his prerogative. I think it helps him in the court of public opinion, not that he cares, by giving some semblance of answer there. And Shaughnessy has to ask the questions. Sam in Providence on what went down 15 hours ago. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Big fan. It's like my whole thing with this Belichick thing is, like, one, I don't know if something happened or not, but Bill Belichick and this great team, and we have this great team, and
it's a great team. Some words you can't say, buddy. Thanks for the call. The fans obviously are. That's a fan right there that I would say is in my 70%. That if you took a poll question of fans, 70% would want some sort of answer about the player. Not everyone feels that way. The teammates of Malcolm Butler, I don't know if they feel the exact same way, or they've been able to get past it yet. I know in Seattle that thing has lingered with the coach throwing a pass, you know, there at the red zone, and Butler ironically coming up with a pick. They still talk about there in Seattle. That is still a big issue for them. So we'll see if it sticks. It was an issue. I'm not talking about the fans here, but for the players. It was an issue for the players there. I don't know if it's going to linger the same way. I think in some respect, Belichick has a bigger cachet with players than Pete Carroll does. Belichick is more widely respected, more well-respected than Pete Carroll is. So I think even a move of this magnitude is not going to linger as much as what happened with Daryl Bevel and Russell Wilson throwing the ball at the goal line and potentially costing that team a Super Bowl. But for half a season into the training camp, are guys looking around saying, hey, do you hear anything about Malcolm? Any word? I think that is a definite possibility. Dan's in a card, 617-779-7937. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, pal?
So, again, getting back to Belichick, the guy has been extremely consistent. Can we wonder what happened? Yes, but the guy actually told us it was a football decision, whether we believe it or not. You can keep asking this guy till you're blue in the face, but I think we've learned this guy does not want any distractions. Anything he says that's outside of his own persona is just going to start a firestorm and is not going to be beneficial for the football team. Just look at this whole offseason. You talked about how crazy the Brady offseason was. I equate it to, I don't know if you remember 2 years ago in the second preseason game against Carolina, Brady took two series, and everybody wanted Garoppolo to get the snaps. Your station went mad for about 7 days, how selfish Brady was, this and that, how it was going to hurt the team. But in the end, what really happened? Nothing. They went on to the Super Bowl to win it. Garoppolo was great till he blew his shoulder out. And I think about 85% of the offseason is much ado about nothing. Have there been differences in things that happened? Yes, but we're hanging on every word, every move that these guys say, trying to connect the dots to the end of the dynasty.
Well, but Dan, in this case, and I'll let you finish, but I think it's because it's so different than any other, you know, regular season, postseason, offseason run. And it goes back to the reports during the year about Guerrero and Brady and Belichick. Like, normally, you're right, things are so in-house over there. Things never get out. I mean, they had Tim Tebow there, the biggest story in football, and it was barely a blip on the radar. So I just think of the fact that it started around Christmas last year and has lingered this long, the questions about Brady, Belichick, Kraft, Guerrero, Jimmy Garoppolo, add him in. It's an unprecedented level of drama, which you're right, has led to an unprecedented level of talk about the team that's not football related, but more drama related. Absolutely.
So when the Wickersham story came out, there were three people who put their name on something publicly, and it was Brady, Kraft, and Belichick to say they were all in unison, and they ended up making a run to the Super Bowl. Now, we're all not naive enough to know that there isn't any friction going on, but I just think a lot of this gets overblown. I know your Seattle Seahawks example. The Patriots aren't the Seahawks.
Big moment for a team, and I think Belichick's more respected than Carroll. That lingered to where Richard Sherman wanted to go elsewhere. Earl Thomas might not re-sign there. He's going to sit out camp to start the year. There are some major issues there with that team.
So, I mean, again, I know you've got to go on to other calls. What I'll say is you've got the returning MVP. He's in the most protected position in the league. I'm looking for great things for this guy for the next 2 to 3 years. I really am. So, again, call me pie in the sky, Dan, but I'm looking for things to get back to normal on the football field.
No, and I think once the games start, Dan, here's where you won't get your wish. And this is, I'm not predicting this, but if you want to talk about how this thing lingers into the regular season. So, and the other thing I would say to Dan's call, and it was a good one. The other point is that there's this uncertainty about the future, and that the stuff that happened last year, Wickersham, Curran, etc., might eventually lead to the eventual breaking up of the Brady-Belichick combination. That whether it's Brady wants to retire early because he's mad at Belichick, or Bill walks away because Brady and Kraft ended up forcing him to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Because of that uncertainty, that has also led to this thing lingering here. As far as when the season gets going, if Brady struggles early and Garoppolo is playing well in San Francisco, this thing is not going anywhere. It'll be a constant daily conversation on every show on this station, every show across the street, every blog, every national talk show, every TV show at night.
Jimmy Garoppolo is Superman in disguise.
You're going to hear that every single day from Dale and Midday. Every single day. Oh, good start. And this is, it is only going to happen at its real peak, if you get bad Brady to start the year and good Jimmy Garoppolo. It'll happen to a lesser extent if you get bad Brady, for sure. If it looks like this is sort of the beginning of the end, if there is a Brett Favre-like cliff, Peyton Manning-like cliff looming for Tom Brady, and he stinks to start the year, hell, if he doesn't play well, that is coming. Get ready. Who's the quarterback in waiting? Jimmy G's in San Francisco. Bill might leave after the year. Does Brady want to play after this year? That is the one thing that can really, really, really make this thing linger.
It's time for Jimmy Garoppolo.
You're going to hear all sorts of things like that, or like it should have been time for Garoppolo if Brady struggles out of the gate. Then I it's no stopping it. It's a snowball barreling down a mountain.
Because to me, if I'm Robert Kraft, that's a fireable offense.
Hot, hot, hot takes. Raining hot takes from Kyle Draper and others. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I'm going to get out of here. Patrick Gilroy is here. He's going to take the baton. Kyle DeLuz is tired. He was here early this morning. Kyle, excellent job by you, pal.
Thank you, bud.
I am back with you guys on Red Sox pregame later on, almost later on today. Actually, first pitch at 6. Gilroy is next here on WEEI. See you.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
It is Red Sox Review / Late Night right here, Sports Radio. WEEI, Patrick Gilroy with you guys until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we will get to some of this Patriot stuff coming up a little bit later. I'm sick to death over the way Bill Belichick handled himself today. I shouldn't have expected anything different. But once again, he proves to be petty and childish, and we'll get into that coming up a little bit later in the program. But right now, I mean, my frustration is boiling over with the Orioles, with Major League Baseball, with the way that they continue to handle weather situations in this archaic fashion. It makes no sense to me. Like, we've got radar. Radar's been around for a long time, and now we've got it on our phones. I just said to Mutt as he was leaving, and I'm getting settled in here, I said, drive carefully. It looks like the skies are going to open up. That wasn't just me looking up. That was the weather app on my phone. It gives you, like, live, up-to-the-date radar. You know what's coming. You mean to tell me that these multi-million dollar operations that we call Major League Baseball teams don't have access on their iPhones to the latest radar? There is zero chance that baseball was going to be played, at least a complete baseball game was going to be played in Baltimore tonight. And nobody thinks about the repercussions here. You know, it's all about the players on the field, and I get that. But there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people that work in and around the game that are affected by the decision-making process. Yeah, and least of which is Mike Monansky and Patrick Gilroy, but it's true. Like, here we are, 1,000 miles away from the game, 800 miles away from the game, whatever it is, and we're affected by it too, let alone the media that's in the house there in Baltimore, let alone the Baltimore radio crew, all the TV crews covering the game. Everybody knows that the game is going to get canceled. I mean, earlier tonight, my boss here, Chris Curtis, texted me and he said, hey, look, when the game is canceled, I'd like you to come in for 10 o'clock. But the game wasn't canceled until 10:08. It makes no sense. There was zero chance baseball was going to be played tonight. And people wonder why baseball fans are alienating the game. It's just another example of this game being unable to use modern technology and keep up with the times. It makes zero sense to me. Like, we're not asking for them to rewrite the rules here. We're not asking for them to do anything out of the ordinary. We're simply asking Major League Baseball to use a little bit of common sense and maybe combine that common sense with some modern technology. So we'll talk about that because I can't be the only one that is frustrated by the decision-making process that goes into these things. And when you're playing the Orioles, I mean, not for nothing, it's an hour flight to Baltimore, not even an hour flight to BWI for these guys. Like, this is not a hard game to make up. There's plenty of games against the Baltimore Orioles every year. And even if there were none remaining, they can find a way to figure this thing out. But instead, what do? They actually make the problem worse. And it's hard to do that. But again, the Orioles and Major League Baseball found a way to take a problem and make the problem that much worse by actually starting the game. Like, what were they thinking? You knew the moment this game got started that there was zero chance they were going to get to five innings, zero chance that this thing was going to become a legitimate baseball game that mattered, that counted, and now you've screwed up everybody on both teams. Makes zero sense. Bravo. Bravo, baseball. You've done it once again. So we'll take your phone calls on baseball at 617-779-7937. And is this just another example of baseball's unwillingness to step into the modern ages here? You know, wake up a little bit. Use technology to your advantage. And I'm not going to be the guy that called Mutt with a Ted Sarandis pitch that said, you know, we need retractable roofs. I grew up with Ted Sarandis, okay? There was hours, years of retractable roof talk here on WEEI in this very time slot. I'm not about to bring that back. I promise you that. There's a reason why poor Teddy doesn't have a job here anymore. But this is a situation where you don't need a retractable roof. You simply need an iPhone. You need an iPad. You need an Android. You need somebody with some common sense combined with an iPhone, and you don't have any of these problems tonight. You move on. You play baseball tomorrow. You make up the game with a doubleheader, or you make it up somewhere down the line, and no harm, no foul, and you don't screw up both teams, their media, the fans that went to the game. It's a bad example. It's another example of bad decision-making by Major League Baseball, and in this case, Major League Baseball and the Baltimore Orioles. Number to join us here, 617-779-7937. It is late night. It is Patrick Gilroy talking to you guys until 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's go out to the phones. Let's go to Bob. Bob's in Waltham. Bob, you're next up here on WEI.
Good evening. You know, the thing that really kills me, it's not even about the 5-0 lead that we lost. The heck with that. I'm most aggravated at the fact that David Price just blew a start. Now, he won't be able to pitch again for 5 days. Is that correct? Because he pitched a couple of innings or an inning?
He's somebody that I wouldn't want to take off his schedule. I'm sure
no,
he could.
Either. He's Goldilocks. He's got to be just right.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I almost wonder, and I still have it in for Buck Showalter. I wonder how much he had to do with this because he likes to stick it to the Red Sox. Let's see. You said this means something to both teams. I don't think it means much to the Orioles because look at their record.
Well, I mean, when I say it means something to both teams, I mean these guys on both sides, they're all Major League Baseball players. They all had to go through their preparation
right. And,
you know, get out there on the field. And you nailed it right there. You know, both teams essentially wasted a starter. It's useless.
Not only that, you know, this whole league – and. All they care about is getting the stupid gate in. They want to try to get that gate in. That's what they were waiting to do. And they don't care about the safety of their own players. How many players have gotten hurt on wet fields? You know, when I was a kid, they would have called a game like this, and they didn't have the weather radar they have right now, but I bet you they would have called that game. They wouldn't have never started that game when I was a kid.
No, you're right. They got the gate in, and the gate is what? There was nobody there in Baltimore, so they risked the health of these players. They risked the health of everybody.
Because they actually have to refund the fans, don't they? I mean,
well, at a game like this, yeah, they got to do something for the fans. I think they have to give them essentially another ticket to another game, right?
Yeah.
But I mean,
they're trying to get that gate in. That's why they kept waiting.
That was the goal, is to get the gate in.
It's the gate. They don't care about the games. They care about the gate. They care about the money. It's a bunch of money grubbing baloney. You know what? And that's going to kill baseball. It really is. If they're going to keep doing this crap, and you're right about the weather. I mean, any fool knew you weren't playing five innings tonight. It's crazy.
That's it.
Is it Buck Showalter? Is it the umpires? Let's do some blame pies. Remember the old blame pies from previous.
From Eddie Andelman. So tonight we've brought up Eddie Andelman and Ted Sarandis. We're going way back in time here. You guys thought EEI was going back in time with the new lineup, with, you know, Jerry in the mornings, then Dale Arnold midday, and Glenn Ordway in the afternoons. You guys thought we were going back in time with that lineup, going back to the mid-90s. Let's go way, way back to the 80s and early 90s, and we'll bring Ted Sarandis and Eddie Andelman back, and we'll have a party here. I mean, that's the way it's gone tonight. That's the way the conversation has gone tonight. And baseball fans have a right to be pissed off. Baseball fans certainly have a right to express their opinions. There was zero reason to try and pull this game out tonight. There was zero reason to waste, essentially, I think the caller's right, waste a start by David Price. I'll check and see what Cora said. I don't know if they've addressed it yet tonight about David Price and when he's likely to start again. But if it were me, knowing that David Price is as fragile as he is, and he's a guy that likes things just so, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't use him again for another 5 days. I mean, why screw up his timing? Why screw up the routine that he's in and the routine that has been working for David Price for the most part this season? He's had a few hiccups along the way, and those hiccups have been big hiccups, namely against the Yankees. But for the most part, he's been pretty damn good this season, and I think that he's a very delicate flower in David Price, and you need to keep him sort of on target. And the best way to do that is to keep him on plan. You don't want to screw up with David Price's schedule. You don't want to screw up with his plan. You don't want to screw up with his routine. Otherwise, what could happen? He'll have a built-in excuse for failure, and we all know that David Price likes to take full advantage of those built-in excuses for potential failure. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It is Late Night. I am Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937.
This is Red Sox Review on WEI.
Sports Radio, WEI, it is Late Night. It is Patrick Gilroy taking your phone calls up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here, 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Really just a bitch session right now, expressing our frustration with Major League Baseball, with the Baltimore Orioles, and the decision-making process in what has taken place essentially over this entire three-game series. And Alex Cora, we'll get the sound a little bit later, but he touched on it after the game today. Just general frustration overall with the way that the rain was handled last night, the way the rain was handled again tonight. And there is blame to go around for all parties here, because my understanding of the way this thing works is that the home team has control over whether the game is going to be delayed, be canceled. The home team has complete control up until the first pitch is thrown. And the moment the first pitch is thrown, the umpires then take over the entire decision-making process as far as what's going to happen that night. You know, once you start that game, the home team is taken out of the equation, and it's up to the neutral umpires. That's why the frustration has to be thrown. I think the majority of the blame has to be thrown the way of the Orioles, because ultimately here, they had the key decisions were made in Baltimore, in their offices tonight, not with the umpires. The umpires had zero control over whether this game actually got started. Once it got started, they did the right thing. They called the game. It took them a long time to call the game, and that probably was not the right thing. That's where a lot of the frustration lies as well. But anybody with an iPhone, an iPad, a computer, access to a television, I mean, the radar showed you it was going to rain up until 10:30, 11 o'clock tonight. So they knew from the moment that the first pitch was thrown tonight that eventually they were facing a multi-hour situation here. There was no way around it. I mean, the entire city was blanketed in dark green on the radar. It's not like the radar's lying to you. It's not like the weather apps are lying to you. They're telling you, you know, live, as it's happening, what's going on. And you can physically see the rain over the city. And the Orioles, the umpires, the idiots, essentially, is what they all are. It's the only way to put it here. And you know what? It's happened here in Boston. It's not just the Orioles that do it. It's happened everywhere. I'm not trying to make it sound like the people in Baltimore are stupid, because this happens all across Major League Baseball, because a lot of these people that make these decisions, they don't have the fans' best intentions in mind. They don't have the fans in mind. They don't have the players in mind. They've got cash in mind. They've got money on their mind, and money motivates most of these decisions across Major League Baseball when it comes to the decision-making process when you're going to call the game due to weather versus doing the right thing and essentially giving the fans the option, saying, you know what, guys, don't come in tonight. Tell the players early on, no game tonight. That's what should have happened tonight. If Chris Curtis knew the time that he texted me at 7 o'clock tonight before the game started, Chris Curtis had access to the radar. If Chris Curtis knew that this game should be called off, if Chris Curtis knew here in Boston, then you're telling me that people that run a Major League Baseball organization in Baltimore didn't have access to the same information that Chris Curtis has got access to? Come on. That's all you really need to know about this. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's go back out to the calls. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan's in West Roxbury. Sorry about that, Ryan. You're next up here on WEI.
No worries. Thanks for having me on, guys. I mean, obviously, like, the rain was all the way down to D.C. I mean, it was clear the game wasn't going to be played, but
there was no getting around it. That's the thing, right? There was no escaping the rain.
Exactly. My thing is, you know, you talk about money motivated. Like, how much do you think the decision went into the fact that the game was on, you know, Wednesday Night Baseball on ESPN? That's kind of my only point was, I feel like that, you know, the fact that it was on ESPN is maybe why they try to squeeze the game in.
Well, commercials cost more money. You know, if it's an ESPN game, those commercial spots certainly cost more than a local game. They've got their number one crew in there for Wednesday Night Baseball. So it's probably part of that decision-making process as well. Not to mention, you know, it is the last game in the series between these two, so it's not like they could double up tomorrow and have a doubleheader or there was an easy out here. But like you said to start the call, the rain was all the way down to D.C., and anybody with an app could see that. So there was zero chance, really. There wasn't a break in the weather where you could say, okay, there's a two-hour break, a two-hour window coming here. We can get five innings in here. That did not exist. So whether it's on ESPN, your local station, or not on TV at all, that shouldn't go into the decision-making process. When you have a gate where you're hoping 20,000 people are going to show up, you're making those people go out in the rain. You're screwing up everybody's night. It doesn't make sense to me. Baseball is a sport, Ryan, that lacks common sense, and this is just another example of baseball not using a little bit of common sense. It goes an awful long way.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Listen, I appreciate the phone call, Ryan. Don't be a stranger to the program. It is Sports Radio. WEI number to join me here, 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the call. It's going to Mike. Mike's in Springfield. Mike, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick. What's up?
What's going on, man?
Well, the good thing is the Yankees burned one of their games in hand, and it's a loss.
That is true. Looking for the bright side there. I like
and
that.
If we win the division, we got to send Tampa Bay a gift package or something.
I mean, the Nathan Eovaldi thing, you like that?
Yeah, no, I was just wondering. I don't know much about this guy.
I mean, look, he's a right-handed pitcher. You know, he's somebody that I think could be partially a difference maker here. He's not somebody that's going to come in and, you know, save the organization, but they don't need saving. They need somebody to come in and essentially help here, right? And that's what you get. You get somebody that's capable of coming in and being a good starter, right? And that's what we're hoping for from him. He's essentially your next E-Rod. He's somebody to take E-Rod's spot, somebody that is going to come in and be healthy, which is more than you can say for Eduardo Rodriguez. It's more than you can say for Drew Pomeranz after what we saw from Drew Pomeranz last night. Really, Drew Pomeranz was abysmal last night. And I know after the game, Pomeranz said that he felt pretty good and thought that he pitched pretty well. But what was really frustrating for me in watching Pomeranz was he can't even touch 90 on the gun. He was consistently 86 to 88 on the gun. I think he topped out at 89 once or twice in the game. When Pomeranz has been at his best, he's able to touch 91 to 93 fairly consistently.
True.
And
Pomeranz, the Pomeranian.
Unless the Pomeranian can get to 91, 93 on the gun, everything else suffers. The rest of his repertoire really suffers because he desperately needs to hit 91 to 93 to set up his changeup, to set up his curveball. And when you're throwing that curveball, throwing that changeup at 85, 86, and your fastball's topping out at 88, there isn't enough difference there. There isn't enough difference. The differential between 85 and 88 just isn't significant enough to throw off Major League Baseball hitters. So there's something up with Pomeranz. He still isn't 100%. And getting Nathan Eovaldi in here allows this team the luxury of maybe buying some time to figure out what's wrong with Pomeranz. I still think the best case scenario for this Red Sox team would be to find a way, hopefully, to somehow get Drew Pomeranz as close to what he was last year as possible before the playoffs. I don't care if he finishes the season with the one win that he's got right now. If he's healthy and right going into the playoffs, whether you use him as a starter or you use him out of the bullpen, he's a valuable tool either way. But he's only valuable when he's right. He's only valuable when he's healthy. Until then, the Red Sox, they did the right thing here. They got themselves some additional depth with their starters, and they got themselves some E-Rod insurance, some Drew Pomeranz insurance. So good for them. And they did it without really giving up any sort of significant prospects. They did it while giving up next to nothing. So you got to applaud Dave Dombrowski for this move. It's another almost zero-risk type move for this Red Sox team, and it adds some valuable depth to a pitching staff that has been good. Hasn't been great, but has been good. And the back end of that pitching staff right now is suffering with injuries. So Nathan Eovaldi comes in here, and he'll essentially be your next E-Rod, your next Drew Pomeranz. It is Sports Radio. WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's squeeze in one more before the break. Let's go to Blair. Blair is in Maine. Blair, you're next up here on WEI.
Yeah, I hope this rain stays away from Portland, Maine on Friday night. Because
what?
I got a country concert to go to.
Really? So tell me about the country concert up in Maine. Who's playing?
It's Billy Currington, and I can't wait, but I'm hearing it's scattered thunderstorms, and so...
So hold on. So this concert, hold on.
Crazy.
Blair, this concert is in roughly 48 hours. It's taking place in Maine, and Blair in Maine is astute enough to have access to some sort of weather application, whether it's on his cell phone, his television, his mom's iPad, whatever it may be, to know that there is rain on the horizon in Maine. But people that run a Major League Baseball organization in Baltimore didn't have access to the same information tonight.
Are stupid enough, Gilroy.
It makes no sense to me.
They had to wait 2 hours. And then we had David Price on the mound, and then that poor guy had to wait 2 hours. And now what are we going to do with David Price? How long does he have to wait now? And then we're up 5-0. I mean, it's...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.